Hey, Bobby.
Hey, Joey.
How are you doing today?
Doing pretty good. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good.
Doing pretty good.
Yeah. Did you like the food?
I did. I like them nummy McDoubles.
Nummy McDoubles.
The delicious blue
12
slushy.
Bucks. Not too bad. Where can you find us, Bobby?
Oh, if you want to find the Thumbs Up podcast, you should definitely look on Anchor.
Just keep going.
Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Breaker, CastBox, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, Spotify, and Stitcher.
Thanks, Bobby.
No clap today?
No clap today.
Yeah. So, today we're talking about...
rare things in pop culture.
Let's be honest, we're mostly talking about them Pokemon cards.
I know.
Yes, we mostly did. Like, I found... I didn't know. You showed me that that guy who opens up... what is it? Pokemon, does he mostly open those?
So
is that his deal?
He's a well, I mean, there's full channels dedicated on YouTube to opening up Pokemon cards, like even new ones.
And this was like these were the old ones though. This was like the original 100, however many I don't remember, card. It was a box, it was a display box with like a few packages in it of like the basic starter set, or is it booster set?
Yeah, it's a original booster set,
the originalist,
from the original first like, generation.
There's like 11
Pokemon
cards to a little pack. And they had two rares on average, right? Or was it one rare?
I think it was one rare, yeah.
And how much was that box again, the whole display box?
So he did the original booster set box, and that ran him, I think he said, $1,500 or $1,600?
Good God.
Yeah, so...
it was a charity open.
Yeah, it was a charity, so it was really cool. I used to watch him a lot. His name is Leonhart. He's
Does
really
he
cool.
Does he sell them afterwards? Like, was that part of the...
I think he sells them, and then he also, a lot of times, he gives them away to his subscribers. Like,
ooh,
if they he'll do little giveaways and stuff. And
nice.
He's
like,
really cool. He's really cool about
here's
it.
Here's an energy card. Here's an energy card. You'll feel special yeah, about yourself.
For real. I mean, it's a Leonhart energy card. But he's really cool.
Ooh.
Yeah, he opens and every day. I think he even opened a box with the original voice of Pikachu and stuff like that. He's the guy who did the original voice. Yeah.
But, and that pack, he had a holographic Charizard. That was, like, one of the most rare sought-after cards whenever I was, like, in junior high. That was, I remember, man, it was, like, everybody's like, oh, yeah, I got a Charizard. And they'd be, it's not as holographic, it's not special.
Yeah,
Shut up, Brian.
There are a lot of cards that are worth so much, like, even in, like, how you're talking about.
All of those individually that he opened up, they were, like, were at least double digits for most of them.
Yeah,
$10, $15,
sure.
Some of the slightly rare ones up to like $50 and $60. But that holographic, do you remember the price on that one?
So they're all graded. So you open them, you're able to send them to a company that's like
special grady company.
Yeah,
it's
known in the community that like they're legit, you know. So if you have it graded by someone else, it kind of looks a little.
So like, there's like one it's somebody. I sense like, was it somebody's like back channel shaking hands or something? But whatever. And they tell you like they rate it on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being the worst, 10 being the best.
I think something like that. I'm not too sure.
Well, basically they look for damages and imperfections,
yes,
and like
maybe like small.
They call it boxing of the edges when it's slightly
yeah,
bent and stuff.
Yeah. So
ding.
But they're saying that even a non. Ungraded non-mint card can go around $60 for this card. So that's $60 for a card. $60 for a card.
Oh man, that's a lot of butts.
That's a lot of butts.
It's all the butts.
But minted, max graded,
ooh,
Shadowless Charizard can sell
Jesus
up to $3,000.
Jeez, down payment on a car. On a nice car.
So I mean, if that's the thing, it's.
We couldn't
because,
find
I
out
mean,
what
this
Shadowless
is,
found out, though. I want to know what that was. But what this is what is
this? This is like... isn't it gambling? It's gambling,
no,
right?
Again, no.
Because
dude,
you're buying cards and you're hoping to sell them later for a bigger price.
No, that's not gambling.
Well,
it's like
investing, I guess?
Yeah, in a way, but it's like not official investing, like regulated.
It is gambling. It is.
No,
it's
gambling.
Child gambling.
That's what is it? That's what everybody was saying back in the day. In order for it to be child gambling, it's like me buying a deck of cards and hoping it has value later. That's not gambling. Gambling is like us all coming together and like betting on who's going to be the winner in a game. And it implies that there's, what is it?
Well,
skill,
what do you do with the
chance as well as, yeah, it's not.
Here's
legal
okay,
terminology,
let me connect it.
It went to court and it
so
ain't.
So let's say you're going to go to a slot machine, right?
Yeah, we're going to
you
the
put
slots
in a certain amount of money to
yeah,
pay, right?
Give them slots
and
money.
if you lose, that's
yeah,
it. You lose that money, right?
You lose it.
But if you win, you get more money back.
Allegedly.
So with the cards, you go and you buy them. You open them up. If it's rare, you win. If it's not rare, you lose and you lost that money.
Kind of, but I mean, you could say the same thing about literally every physical object that you could hope that it's like going to gain money later.
I guess.
No,
I
that's don't know. How it is.
It feels like guitars, a little bit of gambling.
It's the same way. It's because you don't understand. Because it's cards, and that's what people affiliate cards with is gambling. But like, it straight up went to the court system to see, like, is this gambling? And they're like, no.
Well, I mean,
no
they way. Also said loot boxes wasn't gambling, but that's obviously gambling.
Well, see, here's the thing. You, I guess there's more, was it the, it's not loot boxes in general. Wasn't there's a certain way that they were doing a loot box in that, like, yeah. It was like necessary to the game to get them,
mm-hmm.
and because like there was stuff in there that you could only get that way, and it that was like straight up, you didn't. You, there was a it was digital. There's like a lot of minutia, and like I'll be honest, like a lot of everything is twisting into words. But I mean, look at it this way: every day you get up, you gamble. You're not gonna die outside.
So that's there. True. It's fun.
Everything's
a gamble. It is fun though.
It's fun not dying.
I've bought my fair share of Pokemon cards, hoping that I get a rare.
You just can't have fun like a normal person?
No.
And I guess, dude, that's a big part of it, is that most people buying Pokemon cards or any other type of game like this are really just going into it more for the entertainment value. Mm-hmm. They're not seeing it like an investment. And here's the thing. That's good, because if everybody did that, then they'd create a bubble. Nobody would be having fun, and it would crash. A similar thing happened with comic books.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like everyone kind of bought the most.
Then they started doing all. That's when alternate covers got real big in like the late 90s. And they even had holographic covers. It was all the same story, because they was a was it, that's whenever reselling comic books started getting big. People, the thing is, what is it, they made a bunch of comic books back in the day, and everybody thought, oh, these are just like little kid magazine rags. So most of them got chucked. A lot of them got recycled because of the war. They were recycling paper to use it for everything, so it created a scarcity of them. So the few people who had some eventually decided to sell them. And, you know, you're dealing with adults now instead of kids, but you got that nostalgia factor. So they're like, hey, man, I'm willing to pay you, like, you know, a couple bucks for what used to cost you a few cents. The guy next to him would be like, I'll pay you more. And they just sort of went up. And, like, the rarer it was, the more nostalgic. I think for a while, the rarest comic book you could find was an action comic.
Yeah.
Yeah, Superman catching a car. And that's what it was like. Everybody's like, oh, invest in comic books. It's going to be huge one day. So they started printing extra comic books, and everybody's like, save these, they're going to be rare. And more people started looking at it as an investment instead of actually enjoying them, and it raised the price real up, and it caused a whole bubble where everything was great. People were making money hand over fist, but eventually people started to try to get a return. You know, they started selling them, and then when that starts happening, that's when the bubble crashes.
Yep. I mean, there's a certain way to do it, you know.
How?
Like, I mean, with Pokemon cards, you see it how it's supposed to be, how it is. It's still fun to collect them. Yeah, it's still great. But, like, you also see, let's say for the NES Classic system that just came out recently, it's, they did it the wrong way, I think.
What, the system? How?
Yes.
How did they do the
creating so new what system? They did, what
are you talking about, like, that mini one, right? Yes. And it's got, like, a stack of the old school games pre-programmed or something, or is it on a disc?
So I feel like it was a bit shady for them to make a limited amount of them, kind of hoping that it, you know, it would make them more rare, and then whenever they put out more, that's whenever more. And there was even a report that I think it's ThinkGeek, which is owned by GameStop. They were ThinkGeek.
Oh yeah, ThinkGeek.
Yes. Okay. That they would all of a sudden they started selling NES classics even though they were not being manufactured anymore.
Are you doing some air quotes there that nobody can see?
Yes. So they weren't being manufactured anymore. That's what they said.
So all right, finish the story, cuz I'm a little confused.
So they said that. They said they're not being manufactured anymore. There's none being made right now. But then ThinkGeek, I think it's ThinkGeek. It should be ThinkGeek. I'm pretty sure I'm right. Correct me if I'm wrong. They started putting out NES classics, and everyone was like, so they're not, are they being manufactured or not? And
the
they kind of just
classics, the original ones, like back in the day,
no,
style,
like the classic one.
The style, it's called the classic, but it's not actually a classic. Okay, gotcha.
But like what they said was that they stopped manufacturing them, but then they said that they found them like in the back or something.
Yeah, okay.
So it's kind of like they kind of made it like, oh, this is so rare, and now there's some there. And it's so, like, that's a wrong way of doing things.
So
you know?
What it was is, did they ever confirm if the company actually made extras?
they never was were able to confirm that.
Yeah.
But I mean, how can you say that something's not being manufactured and all of a sudden new shipments come in?
I got you, man. Okay, so basically what they were really doing is they were trying to sort of price inflate without doing it directly.
Exactly.
They wanted a higher price, but they couldn't go through their usual channels. So what they did is they created a false limited supply saying this is all done for. And they created what do they call it, like a market craving for it. And then through a separate dealer, the ThinkGeek people or whatever, they started releasing other units at a raised price, an inflated price.
And it's like, and then what do you think is going to happen whenever they're like, okay, there's a new stock coming in, everyone buy one. It's like, oh, they're going to go out of stock. I should buy like three, yeah, or I should buy four, just so that I can sell them later. And it's like all of a sudden now really they're
manipulating
getting,
the buy.
Yeah, it's not right.
It sounds like I could see in the boardroom, they're like, this is a great idea. We're going to make a ton of money. And I'm sure they did, but it's very underhanded.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you can make the argument, oh, there's a sucker born every minute. But it's like, but we should have a society where we don't make it easy to, like, take advantage of said suckers. You know, the company that makes, I think it's Wizards of the Coast, who make Magic the Gathering.
Yeah, they used to make the Pokemon cards, too.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, they were also accused, and I think they still are, of doing something similar. They create very limited supply.
Uh-huh.
So because of that, and they say they do it to support the secondhand market to, like, make it valuable for comic book shops to, you know, keep them in stock and make them a place to resell. And I get that. But right now, there's, like, a huge underground market of, like, fake cards going around.
Oh,
and because the prices are so inflated, instead of just getting gypped for maybe, you know, a couple dozen bucks, you might get gypped for a few hundred.
Yeah.
It could be bad, man. I didn't realize how much those are. Like, if you can print a freaking Magic, you know, passable Magic the Gathering cards, that's like the best kind of counterfeiting money.
And I mean, you said it the same way. It's like you weren't buying them for the collector's like image of buying it so that we could sell it later. It's like you're buying it to have fun with them.
Yeah.
And all the people that wanted to have fun with them no longer could, but because there is a limited amount.
There's also this whole other level, because Magic the Gathering has local game shops hosting what do they call them, like events. They're like official events, and they have like prizes.
Uh-huh.
So there's like an incentive there to have the best deck, right? So you want to have certain cards, and there's like it creates this pressure point where people want to buy rarer cards, so they'd have to spend more money on them. And because they have a limited supply, that creates a market for the fake ones.
Yes.
Man, yeah, they're creating a black market on their own.
Because, I mean, there are some people that just create fake ones so they can play.
Oh, yeah, man. That's actually a big thing, too. There's also in the people who do tabletop games like Warhammer. Uh-huh. They'll buy fake ones just because they want to be in the game. And it's like, you know what? I can't fault them for that.
Yeah.
If you're making it yourself and you're not handing it off to someone and trying to like make a buck off that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you're just trying to have fun. That's the whole point of it. You know, you wanted to buy them so you can have fun, not buy them.
Black Lotus. Can I get an official over here? I think there may be some chicanery going here.
Chicanery.
Some blarney's happening.
But let's go back to the list of the rarest pop culture things that.
Let's do a quick pause.
Okay.
So that we can find it. Can you pause it?
Yeah.
I want to get some water.
Okay. It's cool. I can let it run.
You want to find it, what you're going to start saying?
Yeah.
All right. I just don't want to make noise in the background and you need to get around it. Sorry, I'm so fucking thirsty.
Is there water there?
I'm going to get it from the fucking sink.
Oh.
I know it's disgusting sink water, but he did this to us. I'm the thirstiest man alive.
Are you killing someone over there? You're killing someone over there?
Yeah, I wish. Like a bad person, like Hitler?
Like Hitler?
Air conditioning my balls.
Maybe a mini Hitler? Like how we used to talk about?
We talked about that once.
Alright.
You talk about it a lot. Reverse vampire. We live in the sun and we hide in the night. Reverse vampires.
They came in your room and gave you a fright. All I want to do is
get a tan. Reverse vampires.
All they ever do is wear freaking tights.
Reverse vampires. Damn. Fun, right?
It is pretty fun. All right. I'm gonna go back to talking about the. Let's keep it on trading cards for right now, so we can talk about the World of Warcraft trading card, Swift Spectral Tiger. And then we'll talk about the Garbage Pail Kids card. And then we'll talk about the Beta Black Lotus. Should we bring in that? What is it? Oh, and then the Illustrator Pikachu.
And I'll follow.
Yeah. So you want to give me another clap just so I can know where to. All right, so the first card that we're going to talk about right here is the it is a part of the World of Warcraft trading card game. It is the Swift Spectral Tiger.
That is another series that had its own massive in-world controversies. The main thing being not so much they had a little bit of the chicanery with Magic the Gathering, but they did a bunch of because Magic, what was it? It was World of Warcraft, right?
Yeah.
That's based off of the MMORPG, the online game. And what happened was a lot of the abilities, spells, and characters had traits in the cards that went totally against what they did in the game. So they had, like, swords that were healing potions and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't seem like a big deal, but if you're a fan of the game, they lost a lot of the crossover play that they could have had.
Yeah.
Initially. But I think they bounded back from that. People love that stuff still.
Yeah.
So that World of Warcraft, Triskin Hammer, Purple Tiger.
The Swift Spectral Tiger. You want to see it?
Ooh. Not going to lie, that looks pretty freaking awesome.
Yeah.
I can totally see that spray painted on the side of a black van.
Really weird
and
shit.
That guy's legit. He has the good weed at a good price.
But now, this card is even rarer thanks to the fact that the TCG is out of print.
TCG?
So, the trading card game.
Oh, they don't make it anymore.
Yeah.
I wonder if that. Yeah, like I said, there was complaints about it.
Ooh. So, players desperately search for this unique card, and it can still net you about a whopping $700.
That's pretty solid.
That's pretty solid.
For a hated game. So, okay, I actually see a good amount of decks of World of Warcraft for a while, and nobody would buy them because everybody said the game sucked. So now it's worth, you know, I mean, for a possible seven, depending on the price. I think I'm thinking about to start gambling. I'm gonna start buying packs here and there
just to see what it can fetch you. Hopefully, yeah. A whopping $700.
Ooh, yeah. How much did you spend on those cards? $600.
$600.
Profit was made.
Technically, yeah.
You gotta actually, yes, $100.
Yeah,
that's
gotta spend money to make money,
yeah,
boy.
That's true.
All right, so the next card we're going to talk about is the Garbage Pail Kids card.
Ah, oh, man, I loved those. I had cousins who collected
all of them. I have no clue
what these
things are.
You want me to tell you?
Yeah.
All right, so you've heard of the Cabbage Patch Babies?
Yeah.
Cabbage Patch Kids? Those creepy dolls that, you know, were super popular for a bit. And it looks like one of the artists who did a lot of work for Mad Magazine. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Chance, at the time, they did. He did, like, horror and gross-out versions of the Cabbage Patch Kids and put them on cards, stickers, and other things. And some of them were pretty brutal, man. They'd have, like, decapitations, rotting, and they keep them on. They're shaped like babies, so they were pretty horrible looking. My cousins were super into them, and I thought they were freaking great, man.
Yeah, so apparently there's a reprint of them recently.
Yeah, popular again.
Well,
yeah,
recently,
right.
Meaning before
that.
2012. So not that recently, but
I thought I heard that they were coming back. Maybe it's
and,
just
mine. So it's was going for almost $5,000 in 2012.
This was a comedy thing, too. This isn't a playing card game, BT Dubs, right?
No.
Yeah, they just had pictures on them, and they were cool to look at.
Yeah, so, but the card has dropped in value to anywhere between $200 and $800, which is still a lot of money for a card, a piece of paper.
Well, I mean,
or
money
cardboard.
Is paper.
Yeah,
and
that's
now
true.
Cryptocurrency is here. It's like not even paper. You know what has value? Nothing.
Not
literally,
even cryptocurrency
has
value.
Value. And the value that cryptocurrency had, that doesn't exist. Yeah.
So what happened
right.
with crypto? Like, why is it like 0.00 something?
Oh, man. Okay. There's basically supposed to, this is a whole. Do you want me to jump into this?
Just like super quick. Give me a over.
Basically,
overview.
People stopped treating it like regular money that you could exchange. Like, you know, you go down to Mexico. There's before or after you could find places where you could trade in your American dollar for a Mexican peso.
Yes.
And the idea is that, you know, you get different amounts of money back, but it's supposed to be the same rough value minus the transaction fee.
Mm-hmm.
So one American dollars worth, say, 5 Mexican pesos. I know that's not right. Don't correct me on it. But basically, the idea is that that buying power holds over to there. You know, I might have to spend more of their money, yada, yada. But what happened was people started buying the cryptocurrency and holding on to it in the hopes that someone else would buy it. So example would be, I hear that the American dollar is going to get big. So I start buying other people's dollar for like, I'll buy your $1 bill for $5, right? So people were like, dude, let me go buy a bunch of $1 bills and buy it from this dude. So a bunch of people were starting to do that. And eventually somebody said, well, you know, I'm going to start buying people's $1 bills for $10. So they started treating a currency as a... some people, as an investive, not a collecting, there's a term for it, as a commodity, is the word, as a physical thing that you could buy and invest in, and it'll hold, you know, value transitively over, right? Yeah, no, that's a little weird, and it's very wrong. And so they're making some laws regarding that. Well, what happened is there was a bunch of people who were, you know, they were telling everybody, hey, man, yeah, we're buying, you know, dollars for $5. You should invest with me. And like, you know, I'll sell you my dollars for, you know, they're going up in price. People are starting to sell them for $10. I'll sell them to you for like $9, and stuff like that was going on the back pages. So this, a bunch of people were collecting all this money. And then they eventually, all at once, they said, hey, guys, we're going to sell you all of our dollars. And there'd be like a buying frenzy. But what happened is that made the price drop. Because everybody, there were just too many on the market.
It's just too many dollars. They weren't using it correctly.
Exactly. Okay. Like you said, they were treating it like a thing to buy instead of a thing to spend money with.
Oh, okay. You know? It became like...
Oh, it's like prison currency. It's like, okay, you know how they use ramen noodles as currency in prison?
Yeah.
Well, the idea is you keep some aside to buy other things with. But if you eat all your money, you destroyed the economy.
Oh.
That's basically what happened. So
that's a very good way of putting it. Yeah. Thank you. All right.
You're very welcome.
So now we're going to move on to a card that I'm guessing you know a little bit more about.
Also, to say, that's the only, I think, that and baseball cards. The Garbage Pail Kids are some of the few non-trading card cards out there. A lot of the baseball cards you find out there, they're not necessarily to go along with the game. Uh-huh. They just have pictures of the characters, right?
Yeah.
And most of the popular cards that you could buy, they actually have a game that goes along with it.
Yeah.
Me and my friends all were into trading Pokemon cards. None of us knew how to play that game till today.
It's kind of crazy. Even,
we got all got in the craze.
Yu-Gi-Oh cards.
Mm-hmm. That was a big one. That one was fairly simple to play. I tried playing it. That's a boring game.
Yeah, I used to play with my brother when I was little.
You have to do big math. The easiest way to play it was to knock off all the zeros at the end.
Just watch the anime.
It was pretty good. Yeah. It was pretty solid. Crazy.
All right, so the next card is the Beta Black Lotus. So the Black Lotus returns, kind of, sort of. The Lotus card appeared in two different series of Magic the Gathering. The first limited edition alpha, like the card that rustled everyone's jammies last week, as also seen above. You can skip that also seen above audience. But
there's a picture there.
Also the beta.
Do you want me to go into a rant about that, or you want to finish your thing?
Let me just finish this really quick. So although not worth as much as some highly graded Alpha Lotuses, the Beta Black Lotus can still be in demand at a pretty good price, around $5,000, even for a middle-of-the-road PSA grading.
Noise.
So a perfect 10 graded card is worth a huge amount, though, as Pristine Comics tried to find out last week as well, putting the BGS 10 Black Lotus up for sale at $100,000.
That's 1% of $1 million.
I never thought about that.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
No.
That's not right. I think 10%? That's 10%.
Nah, I feel confident. How much was
it's 10%.
Yeah, it's 10% of $1 million. Wow, that's even more crazy.
Yeah.
But that one actually has a pretty cool little story behind it. You want me to
go ahead?
Okay, so check it out. A lot of them, like I was saying before, Magic the Gathering, Wizards of the Coast, whatever, they're sort of infamous for creating a limited supply. Mm-hmm. That's not necessarily how this that card got popular. What happened is basically it has whenever you're playing the card game, you need to put certain mana or power cards into play before you could put a certain monster cards or other damaging cards on the field. And that one either had low to no cost. Whenever you put it, you could just play it and it would be active, I believe, or close to it. It was just like you could really quickly put it into play. The thing is, it had some sort of effect where it kept either buffing your stats or buffing your monsters or causing damage. I think it was a damage causing thing, but basically for very little cost and very easy play, it would wipe out your opponent.
Wow.
Yeah. And they, like I said, they were really big into pushing their competitions at the time. So it was like, it created horribly unbalanced situations. So early on, they did a recall and they like canceled out their plans for making it. So that one was a legit, we shouldn't be making this card anymore. Not like, oh, we're trying to like support the local game shops. They're like, this isn't going to work for tournament play. So we're going to stop making it altogether.
Instead of banning it, they just wanted to stop making it?
Yeah. I mean, and they'll do, yeah, because there are some that
I'm sure they banned it too.
Yeah, they did that. But yeah, there are some cards that they make where they're kind of like joke cards.
Yeah.
Where they still make, but they don't, they'll ban them in play, but they'll still make them. I know there's this one card that you put into play, and whenever it's picked up, because you're supposed to like make it trick the other player into picking it up, it'll say, well, whoever touches this card, you know, you lose all your points. It's a joke card though, right? It's funny, and it like, I've heard of like people getting real mad whenever they pick it up, and it's not allowed in tournament play. If you ever play it, they could just say this card shouldn't be in play, then yeah, you would lose that hand or whatever. But Black Lotus, they decided to cancel out entirely early into its run, so they'd only made a few to begin with, thus so that's creating the moneyness.
The rarity,
yeah, there you go.
It's crazy. And you had one more card.
That's one of the earliest cards I started learning stuff about. I did. I knew a thing. Tell them what I knew.
You knew about the Illustrator Pikachu card. I did.
One of the rarest Pokemon cards that you could find available.
Made for the Korokoro promotion in Japan in the very early days of the TCG.
The card game. I want to make a card game called The Card Game.
The card game. The illustrated card was a prize given to the winners of the Pokemon art contest.
Yep, I knew that.
Alongside getting the Pokemon card with your art printed in a series.
Exactly. How cool would that be?
Wow, that's awesome.
Right? That's why some of the art in Pokemon is so lame.
Because people did it.
Yeah, regular people did it.
Only six were believed to exist.
Believed. That's because there's like some guy at the factory who's holding on to like a stack of 20. He's like, oh, this is my...
The graded card on eBay went unsold for a long time before eventually selling for under the $90,000 asking price. But even ungraded version of the card have sold for $20,000 thanks to its extreme rarity.
Yeah,
$20,000.
That's because of its rarity, but that one is like the reason I bet you it stayed online unsold for so long was because nobody had much of a connection to it.
Yeah,
it's not like you could play it, and it's not like, you know, there was like a cool, it had a kind of cool story behind it, but it was mostly a prize thing. It would be the equivalent to somebody selling their like gold plated, silver plated play button from YouTube.
Yeah,
you know, it's more like an award than an actual playable card.
Well, I mean, also you have to think of it like, if someone's collecting each and every card from the series, that's like, you need that
really,
one.
Not really. It wasn't in the series. It was released and it had like the same.
Yeah, but if you wanted
it
to
wasn't a playable card.
Legit.
No, if you're like, legit, then you'd have the regular playing card.
There's only six that's people why, that have a...
That is why it stayed online for so long. A lot of people would be like, oh, okay. It's they could be rare and not special.
Have you seen that show where it's like... They go to these house, like these people's
American
houses, and
Pickers?
They're no. It's just a. It's solely for like comic books and for action figures and for games and stuff like that. And they'll go into like the attics of people's like houses, like that. They'll be like, "Oh, I have some like stuff that I bought whenever I was little and stuff." And I don't know, if it might be worth some stuff. I kind of looked it up, and it's so they'll go and they'll start looking at stuff and. And it's like one of those shows where they're like, "Oh my God, you have this!" And it cuts to commercial.
Yeah,
stuff like that. And then
they do that very intentionally. Yeah. Very.
And I used to watch it all the time just because I was so interested in how, like,
I remember he found that bubbling, what is it, that was from He-Man? It was a figure that you squeezed it and you filled it up with bubbles and it would launch bubbles out.
Mm-hmm.
And he found it out of package and he was super stoked about it. I remember, though, because the guy himself was Canadian. I remember he would say, instead of saying Darkseid for the DC Universe bad guy from Planet Apocalypse, he would say Darkseid. Because he's Canadian, and he found a kit toy where it was like it had like a flying vehicle in it, and it was supposed to have, you put like Darkseid in it and this other characters, and he's like, oh my God, he was so popular, Super Friends were so great whenever I was growing up, this is gonna get the most money at the auction. And like a few other cards, like I think it was like some war toy or something, it sold for a lot more than he thought it would. Darkseid, as he said, the Dark Seed hardly, you know, it took forever for anybody to buy. I thought it was going to sell for a lot more. And it's like, that's because you're from Canada, boy. So that America. We don't care. It didn't help that you were calling it Dark Seed. Nobody knew. Like, that? People would be like in the background, they're selling something called Dark Seeds. And it's like, oh, I don't want those in my garden. She just said Dark Side. He's like, yeah, that catches the eye.
I mean, like,
just Canadians don't have dark sides.
I mean, to think about it, like, even Barbies and Ken dolls, like the very first ones, I'm sure they go for so much, like with the cars and shit like that.
Yeah, but don't, isn't there like a thing, like they all got lead paint? That's what made them rare. A lot of toys had lead paint back in the day. Actually, what's that, that train that talks?
Thomas the Tank Engine? Thomas, yes, Thomas. There was my cat's name.
That the red paint for, was it the little engine called Pushy or something? Or Tinker or Taylor? I don't remember what its name is. Anyway, the red paint apparently used lead dye, so they had to have a recall on it. And that was, like, I think in the 80s, if I'm not mistaken. Keep that in mind, sir. Next, what is the next item on our agenda?
We're going to talk about more game-oriented stuff.
Like what?
Like the 1991 Nintendo Campus Challenge.
What was that?
I don't know. Let's read about it.
You want to do a quick pause?
Yeah, let's do a quick pause.
So you can catch up? All right. Let me get more water.
Much like the Nintendo World Championships, Nintendo also made an extra pack
that you won, right? It was like a prize console. Oh, I heard somebody did something like that today. There was like a special console. If you ate a centipede and you got like a copy of Lara Croft or some shit, you had to eat a fucking centipede and you got like an Xbox One.
What?
Yeah. Would you do that?
Yeah, I think I would.
What's your favorite game on Xbox One, or what's the top game?
I don't have an Xbox One.
Oh shit, that's right. All right, what's one of your top games on PlayStation?
Last of Us.
Last of Us. Oh, perfect. So you had to eat a whole bunch of like raw mushrooms. And whoever ate the most, you get into that competition.
Just see the Last of Us.
Oh, so, like a special Last of Us custom PlayStation.
Oh.
Fuck it.
Probably.
Broly.
Broly.
I'm sorry, I'm taking so long. At least I'm drinking water, right?
That's true.
Oh, perfect. I'm sorry. Sorry, Gilmore. This time I got more water, so I should have to get up again. Are you reading up a little ahead?
Yeah.
Alright, this one almost does the nausea. Go. I'm ready. Start talking.
What next have you on the collector's agenda, sir?
Ooh, well, let's talk about the Nintendo World Championships.
Oh, I remember these.
So, there's a gold edition, apparently, like, and it is
console?
Worth... I think it's just the cartridge for the NES.
Ooh.
And it is worth $15,000 to $21,000.
Dang. I had a gold cartridge Zelda. Yeah. Do you think that was worth anything?
I think they're all gold.
They're all gold, right? Yeah. Ah, they tricked me. Ah, you monsters. You monsters.
Yeah, but it was only for the top winners at a Mario Design Trophy. Wait. Nintendo consoles and for top winners, a Mario Design Trophy. So that's what some people got.
Dude, and that's so funny because... That one was, this was probably like in the 80s, right? 90s?
Yeah, in 1990.
And now one of the big features in a lot, like in a lot of the Mario games, you have to find like statues of the characters, right?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, they were like, somebody was just like sitting staring at it. It's like, one day I'm going to let everybody know how special I am. I'm going to be like, I'm going to put these in the game. And then they're going to be like, oh, I wish you would make a Mario trophy. And I was like, I got one when I was a kid. Yeah. Let's just say I was pretty popular with the ladies.
I was pretty popular.
The cafeteria.
Popular.
Calculators.
So and the number one on here is Gamma Attack. It is an Atari game. And the developer is Gamation.
Gamation?
No, I'm, Gamation. Like Gamma Attack. And then they're like, who developed it? Gamation.
Did you just make up a word?
No, that's a developer. And so the estimate price is $20,000 to $50,000.
Yeesh, just for the game?
This may not come too much surprise, but most of the highly priced video games on our list are for older video game consoles. With that said, you can expect a number of Atari video games on this titles, on this list. Now, whatever.
Yeah, we're reading it off of a freaking website.
Yeah.
But I think we're starting to come around. Some of the later editions are starting to get popular. I know some of the Nintendo 64s have been going for a pretty nice little penny, if I'm not mistaken.
I mean, they're super expensive.
Because it's like I said, we were coming into a generation where the kids who grew up playing that are now adults.
Yeah.
I was a kid. Like, there's adults my age who have been responsible with their lives,
mm-hmm.
and they made money so they could go buy their nostalgias back.
Specifically, the Nintendo 64 seems like a system that's very hard to collect for because it's really expensive.
Yeah,
the cartridges came in those like cardboard boxes, yeah. So they didn't age too well. So if you find a really good one, yeah. You want to keep it.
That being said, you know what? I don't hear it being too popular. The GameCube.
Oh,
I
yeah.
don't know if people are into that, but
they are still expensive though.
They are, and then here's the thing though. I remember I would watch early G4. It used to be Tech TV, and they did like a damage test on a bunch of the boxes. The consoles at the time, they did one like the Xbox, PlayStation, and GameCube, I believe. Like, they would drop around and smash them, and I believe GameCube came out as the winner as for taking damage and still being playable.
Wow.
Yeah. And I would get the Nintendo 64 and GameCube confused for so long. I don't know why. I guess because
they were back to back.
Yeah, and they had a similar color scheme for a while, dark blue and gray.
Yeah, I guess.
I was a kid. Shut up. Shut your face.
But I mean, I love the GameCube. My favorite GameCube game is Super Mario Sunshine, in case anyone wants to know.
Yeah.
I'm sure no one does, though.
I remember whenever those
games. And Wind Waker.
Those are coming. Wind Waker.
I like Legend of Zelda Wind Waker.
The game magazine started getting real popular.
And Metroid Prime.
They'd have playthroughs on them and little hidden things and stuff. Those were freaking awesome for a bit.
Those are collectible, too. Minute.
Really?
I'm guessing, yeah. Because they don't make it.
You don't know. You don't know. Fine.
I'm sure willing to bet.
I bet you, though, like, they're a collector's item. But I bet you they haven't like done like a raise in price.
Oh,
find
yeah,
the Beckett Mon. Sure. The Beckett Mon, do you ever remember that?
Nope.
It was like specifically for Pokemon cards and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man. I remember I had a friend, and both me and him were into them, and we would buy them like monthly. And then eventually we decided to like send in the cards for ordering a subscription. Now, these cards at the time had an option. Pay now, receive two issues, pay later. So my friend, air quote, it was Brian. I said his name earlier. Brian. He's like, you know, golly gee whiz, I'll send him in my money right away for my subscription. Didn't get an issue. I was like, yeah, I'll pay later. Send me some. So, like, got my first issue, no problem. Got my second issue, no problem. Then I got a letter. Hey, we still haven't got your money. He's like, you already got two issues? I already paid and I haven't gotten mine. I'm gonna send another one in. I'm going to ask for them, you know, my money back or blah. I wasn't paying attention to him. He was a jerk. Still is a jerk. So, I don't know. Maybe he's a cool guy now. I think he might own a comic book shop or have some
fillers. Oh, really?
That might be cool. Yeah. Yeah, so I'm talking a little smack here. But he was annoying back in the day.
Okay.
I'm sure I was to him, too. Whatevs.
He's saying the same thing on a podcast somewhere?
Yeah. If he watches it, hey, Brian, man, we should hang out sometime. If you ain't watching it, I hate you. Hate you so much. I've hated you since we were children. But so like I said, my subscription was up and his never came in because he waited those two full months. So he sent in another one with their money again. And if you can guess, I sent in mine as well saying, I'll pay later. So pretty much he was paying for my comics. It was the exact of like, you know, oh, whenever you take from a store, paying customers are the ones paying for it. That's what happened. He never got any comic. He never got any magazines of Beckett Mon. I had four free ones.
Like, one of the things that I have is the Pokemon Red and Blue for the Game Boy. I have the guide for it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it comes with a bunch of stickers for each Pokemon and stuff like that.
What the use might be on that, but I remember there was some levels. And there's the ice level and the underground level where things would be like all sort of black and dark.
Yeah.
Almost impossible for a lot of people to get through. I was one of them. But those guides, they would show you like, oh yeah, bounce off this rock, go to this one, and like, they made it almost unbuyable. You had to buy the magazine. It was DLC, man. Early DLC. It's a freaking ripoff. Rip, man.
I love it, though.
Oh, fun. I don't know if you call it.
Oh, fun.
Oh, fun. On collector's things. Early on in Nintendo's day, they had peripherals. Little extra bits of equipment you could buy with the game. And there was this Nintendo glove. Power glove.
Oh,
it was called.
Oh, wow.
Right? Do you remember that? And it was supposed to be like you put on this glove and it's got some controller stuff on it, but you're supposed to be able to turn it directionally and control the game. Everybody was stoked about it. The thing is, it sucked, apparently. It was never really synced up and they just didn't have the motion control to like make it good at the time.
Have you heard of a regular show?
I have, but let me finish this real quick. So, do you know how they were the big, it was pretty much, there's a movie called The Wizard. And this kid was really good at playing video games, specifically console, everything. I think he had like autism. And he wanted to get to Hollywood or something like that. And that video game was when they did the premiere for the Super Nintendo. And they had like a whole setup where they had a like a giant controller set up, like an arcade controller. And he was playing, I believe it was Mario on there. And it was like, that's where they showed, look at the Super Nintendo now in a major motion picture. And they showed that a kid who was like, he was like, he would gamble at his house to play like any video game, right? And he had this old zip up for the like Kevlar or like fabric bag with all of his Nintendo games in there. Pick any of them, I'll beat you at them all. And then they're like, okay, I'll get this controller. And then he pulls out the glove and it looks all awesome because it looks like it's from freaking Back to the Future.
Yeah.
From the future. From the future part of Back to the Future. Not the back. And he was like controlling his the car all perfectly. And it's like, no.
I'm sure it was awesome.
It looked awesome. But it definitely like, looked awesome. From what I understand, the playability of it in real life was horrible.
I haven't found any of those. I've been to a lot of like retro game stores. Yeah.
You're going to be searching, yo. Google that.
I want to find
regular
it.
Regular show, you've said? Is it a show about regular?
Yeah, there's actually a episode in there where they go to like a tournament and they have to like win this tournament to get the glove. And at the end, like, you know, they go through this during the whole show. It's like they go through the whole thing of like playing and they're trying to get better at it and then they finally win. And at the end they're like, all right, go ahead and you can have the first turn. And he's there trying to do it and it's like not moving.
He's moving the arm around, but it's not really controlling
it's
it.
It's not moving. He's like, this thing sucks. Like, and I'm sure it was like an homage
there was an adult making that who had played with that game.
He bugged his parents.
He took a couple swats from the dad because it was back in the day. And he's like, you know, oh, you know, walking into the store with like a red one cryy eye all swatted out. He's like, at last, I've got it. I'm going to be the coolest kid on the street. All my friends are going to want to play. And I'll only let them play when I'm done with it and it's sweaty. And they can get my arm sweat on their arm sweat. And he like puts it on, boots it up, and he's ready to become God inside the video game. And he starts moving his arm around. Nothing's happening. And it's just like the other eye starts welling up in tears and he can't put the smile away because he's just like in shock, heartbroken. It's like, when did Nintendo?
It's the same thing with the Kinect for the Xbox where you can do the motion stuff. It wasn't great. I think they've actually taken off the port to be able to connect it to the Xbox One.
Really?
Yeah, because it's like,
it's still that bad.
Yeah.
The thing too is like, I remember that they were trying to set up a similar thing to
the Wii.
The Weibo people, yeah. Where you had a character in there and they had games specifically made so you could move around and stuff. And in a Best Buy, I saw a promo.
I'm Han Solo.
Han Solo, yeah.
Have you seen the Star Wars dance? I saw the Han Solo one,
but I saw there was some game where you had powers.
Uh-huh.
Right? You would create a character that looked like you and you could get it to have different powers and it would be based on your motion. And I was like, this is what I want in my life. And then I heard like, oh, what? It didn't pick up motion right or it sucked.
Yeah.
And then later there was like, you needed like at least, 30 feet in every direction or something to be cleared. And then the Wii only needed like, you could sit in front of the Wii. You didn't need no distance. It would set it
the
up.
The Wii
itself.
Was very good for what it did.
Motion sensor, yeah. It was great. I never had an issue with it. Even the motion sensor stuff, it was pretty good on. And I was like, I thought at least Xbox would be at least that good, if not better. And then they sucked with the H.
Because, I mean, Microsoft and Sony, the PlayStation and the Xbox are made for, the way they describe it is hardcore gamers. Like the gamers that, you know, do the...
And have the least amount of space available.
The RPGs and the, you know, the shooters. And so, and Nintendo's more like the family console, you know, for like Wii Sports and stuff like that.
But you know what it usually turns out? Oh, sorry, go.
There are some really cool games on the Wii, you know.
Also, too, it's a party system. I know a lot of people who hang out. And
Mario
it's a lot
Party?
Yeah. No, I just mean, like, when people are, like, hanging out, like, as a group, in a mixed group, it's a lot easier to put, like, most of the games from a Wii on, and anybody could jump in and play, like,
all
the racing games and all that. They're lighter games, so they're easier to get on, and competitive in a fun way, whereas the hardcore games, you kind of got to know what you're doing and have skill, and they're mostly first-person shooters.
Yeah.
So if you're, like, hanging out, you could leave the Wii console out, and somebody could say, hey, let's do this, and everybody jump on it. Yeah. The closest other systems had to that, and I believe Xbox was Guitar Hero.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. PlayStation. That was the closest to, like, anybody who could jump on and kind of get it a bit and have fun. Mm-hmm. That's it, and they don't even make that.
It was still kind of difficult.
It was still difficult,
they do,
but they
do make
levels.
Them. They do make it still, but it's not the
popular.
Same.
Popular.
Yeah, it's not
the people
same.
Don't, because, like, the bands people into now, like, do they have a rap version?
It's like they added, like, Pierce the Veil, and they've added, like, I remember buying I rented the Aerosmith one.
Oh, yeah?
And, like,
great.
No. Because all the music is slow, so it's like, why do I have this? Like, I don't want to play guitar to Aerosmith.
You want another fun game fact?
What?
So, Metallica apparently released their album Saint, what am I saying apparently? The album Saint Anger, you could play it on Guitar Hero before you could buy the full album.
What? You mean, was or cool. Was it Death Magnetic?
I feel like it was, I think it might have been Saint Anger.
Okay.
But let me just, either way, they had some music on there, and it was a Metallica version. It had mostly Metallica songs on there.
I remember I bought that game as soon as it came out.
So here's a cool thing. You could, if you were decent with a computer, you could rip the music from it and make a CD, right? Well, later, Saint Anger came out, or people were, I think it was Saint Anger, or some other one came out, and everybody was complaining, this album sucks. Why does it sound so, but people who played the game were like, no, that album was pretty freaking good. It's like classic Metallica with new lyrics. It was great. And they ripped the sound from it, and they saw that the sound waves on the game had a lot of variability, and I'm like, they'd go up and down randomly, whereas on the CD it was like a brick. And the reason is because they do this thing where they change the, I don't know, and they change something in their processing and making it so that whenever it's louder you pay more attention to it, but it takes all the flavor away from it, whereas in the game they left it as it was, basically a master copy, and it just, like, had all the flavor because you were hitting, you had to match up the buttons to the notes.
That's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was fun facts.
Yeah, I bought Guitar Hero Metallica as soon as it came out because we're very big Metallica fans, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, that's awesome.
So I bought it. The day it came out, I bought it, and I remember because I gave my cousin money so he could get it for me, and I bought it, and the first song I played was... Oh, man.
That game gave, like, was such a boon to freaking Guitar City and, like, the whole industry of, like, selling instruments, making it, just giving everybody false hope. Yeah. Rock Band would, like, rounded out the kit with, like, people buying full drum kits. And for a minute there, like, the reason Gilbert had a good amount of, like, good band stuff around here was because all the secondhand stuff, straight up buying guitars and gear off of people who were like, yeah, I was really good at Guitar Hero or Rock Band. But so I got the instrument, and it's hard, so I stopped.
Yeah, it is really hard. I mean, that's why my brother learned guitar, I think. I was like, you should learn real guitar. And he was like, okay. So he did it. And then I was like, I want to play bass because he's playing guitar. So I learned bass. And then later on, I was like, I want to learn guitar too. So I learned guitar. And
so, I mean, it did feel some, like, true.
It did feel... Guitar Hero, I can honestly say that was one of the games that really did inspire a lot of people to listen to different music that was, you know, that wasn't that popular during the time.
Man, they put Primus in their early, some of the early games, man. Primus.
And
now, admittedly, they didn't always have the actual
copy. Yeah, so I was going to say, in Guitar Hero 1 and 2, most of the songs are like, covers and stuff like that. You know, but they're really done. Really,
yeah, honestly, I'd listen to some later, because YouTube was, like, still kind of growing at the time. I'd listen to some of those songs, and honestly, some of the covers were better. And I guess maybe it's because they made a point. You know what it could have been, too? I could have been suffering from them turning the sound into a big block. Maybe that's what it was. It's just I like the sound of, like, well-recorded music.
Or maybe you're just so into the nostalgic feeling of it, you think?
No, it was the same song. I like the
but
one.
But you're
that,
like, that doesn't sound the same like how I played it when I was younger.
No, like my guitar playing games. Because we'd go home, we'd hang out, we'd play, you know, Guitar Hero. We'd go to school, and I'd get on a computer and not do my work. And I'd be like, why does this suck? I was listening to the song yesterday when my friends were playing it, and it minus the clicks, it sounded freaking great. And the burp,
oh,
you
know, yeah,
stuff like that, whatever you missed up. So, no, it wasn't a nostalgia thing. It was like true. Back to back, me noticing.
That's weird.
The thing. And I'm saying, I bet you it's the sound stuff. It was like the missing with it on YouTube, because you're playing it from the their actual music video or whatever. Anyway, digression on that. Peripherals. You know they made a DJ Hero? It was like the hardest one apparently. Yeah. You think it would be the easiest? Is DJing that much harder? And why didn't Keyboard Hero ever caught on? That would have been perfectly freaking suited to the game. That would have
just putting even like Beethoven and stuff like that in there.
Everything. Think about like the keyboard stuff you could have put on there that would have actually translated into skill that you could use on a real keyboard. It's hilarious. Accordion Hero.
I would play it.
Yeah, a lot of Mexicans would.
Pull out the Hano music on there.
You can put some of that polka.
That polka? What's another peripheral? I know the Kinect was big. It didn't do well.
On that topic, I will always associate Kinect with redneck relationships. I had a coworker. She would buy her dude everything.
Uh-huh.
Pre-ordered him Xbox One with the freaking Kinect, man.
Mm-hmm.
It was like freaking expensive as hell. And she bought him like helmets for his equipment, for his like dirt bike. And I was like, how old is this kid? Are you a pedophile? She's like, no, he's older than me. And I'm like, oh my God. Part of me is like, I hate this guy. He's disgusting. He's not a man. And another part of me is like, the scum part was just like, oh dude, props to you.
Props.
This chick's cute. And you know, I know how like her reputation, no judge. I was a bad person back in the day. And it's like, and you got her buying you all this cool stuff. It's like, I've never like hated and loved someone who I knew so little about in my life.
Hey.
It was just crazy. It's crazy. But yeah, the peripherals did drop off for, they kind of have. The rise of like Amiibos is the closest to, I think, a renaissance in them.
And it is working.
Yeah.
They are selling.
I feel like, you know, the other companies could take a little bit of note here. You know, it's a way of ensuring that there's a hard copy. So people could see it as an investment for that. And it's also affecting the collectible aspect.
Yeah.
But breaking it down into a smaller bit, I could justify... How much is like an Amiibo? Like
$12.
$12. A $12 sale versus a normal peripheral, which could cost close to a few $100.
Because they have... Now they're starting to do the VRs. So you have to remember that, too.
Yeah, that's true.
So those are expensive, though. Those are... Might as well buy another PlayStation if I'm going to buy another PlayStation.
For the cost of them now. Yeah. But I know, all right, some of the early Wii peripherals, I know they had a balance board.
Oh,
they had a kind of mat thing. They had like they had all these little nifty bracelet attachments so you wouldn't throw your controller across the screen.
It's crazy how like Nintendo's so innovative.
They do the most peripherals.
I mean,
in general.
Wii is one of the best selling consoles ever. It's like the third or fourth, I think.
They're creative.
Just like the best selling console is PlayStation 2. Because everyone has a PlayStation 2, and that's why they're so cheap now. You can buy one for like $40.
Nice.
Just because so many people have
them. They pumped a lot of them out. They had a reasonable price and a ton of games.
Yeah, so the games were just printed out so much that now you could buy some for like $3.
I remember, too. Didn't the games have like... There was a thing, like they had a black cover on the back of the CDs, a lot of them, to make them like unpiratable or something like that. I think that was like what I'd heard. I'm not sure. I don't know if that was real, but that's what one of my cousins who lies to me a lot told me. Anthony. He shall go unnamed.
You're just dropping names today, aren't you?
People need to know that they suck. Maybe this will help them look in the mirror and be like, I do suck. I'm a piece of shit.
Anyone named... Not you, Anthony, that's listening, though. So.
Yeah, the one who's related to me.
Yeah.
Just so that was like that. That song.
We love you, Anthony, though.
Let us look in the mirror and sing that song. But yeah, they were innovative, man.
Because the Switch is... But, oh, okay, wait, let's talk about the Wii, the balance board. I was going to say that it's crazy that they did that for a lot of people. I mean, some people, it's like you don't even have to play games. If you're into being fit and if you want to do yoga.
That's brilliant. That was the first of them really selling it as outside of the traditional game world. And that innovation made it huge and made it popular with a lot of, it got elderly people involved. It got like adults and then the real little kids who didn't have the dexterity to play with a controller and just let them get on the balance board or like use the
play
images and play tennis with their parents.
Dude, it was Dance Revolution stuff.
Dude, I love Dance Dance Revolution so much. I had the laptop edition. Not joking. And I'm talking with like, I had ripped songs from the internet from a Renaissance metal band called Haggard that I can't even, that's like super hard to find. and a bunch of like weird Japanese and like Brazilian songs ripped off with like weird music videos. It was freaking crazy, man. Well, like fan-made editions.
That's impressive that you were able to do all that.
Oh, I didn't do it. Someone else did it for me. I was just enough into it that I was willing to like, did I pay for that? Or did I, was that like me like, oh man, that's gay shit. I'm going to take it from you so I could break it. Can you give me the broken bits, man? Shut up.
Is that what you used to do?
No, no, I didn't. I was a good person. Certainly not an asshole like Brian and Anthony. Those guys were dicks.
Not Brian and Anthony who's listening, though. You know who you're talking about.
I feel like the Brian and Anthony I'm talking about could hear this and totally be thinking, how many Brian and Anthonys did this guy know? Because I'm freaking great.
Maybe. But now the Switch is huge. I love it. I love my Switch. I play my Switch more than fun. I play my Switch more than my PS4 now.
You gotta dig on a game that is so easy for one person to play, and then let other people jump in on play.
Shovel Knight's in a lot of places, but it's so easy because you have the two Joy-Cons. You just like pop it off, give it to a friend, start playing.
Also, man, give credit to Nintendo in general for being innovative with carrying cases. That's something that doesn't get a lot of mention, but like I said. With the advent of the Game Boy, I also had a Game Boy carrying case, which had room for backup games, a battery, and the magnifying glass on it. And with other consoles, they didn't ever really made stuff like that. I think even the Wii had its own type of carrying case that's specially designed for it.
I wouldn't doubt it. Yeah, they always do that.
And the Switch has similar accommodations.
So many. Yeah, you have to see how many has. There's so many third-party ones, too.
And that's brilliant, man. Yeah. See, getting third-party people in there and just having a quality standard, that's what made console gaming in general enjoyable for everybody. Because, you know, they instead of just having the same company trying to pump out things constantly, having third-party people do it is what let them spread. I know Xbox was real slow to jump on that. You know, they only had a few people, and that's why it took them so long playing catch-up, man.
Yeah.
Catch-up. But yeah, you have a carrying case that lets you carry extra controllers, backup little cases for your controllers itself, hold all your games in it and stuff.
Whenever they first released the Switch, they released some cases for it, and they released the official ones. They're all official. There is one just for your Switch. This thing was like $20. That's it, $20, and it was a hard shell case that fitted. Nice. I think. Let's see, game cartridges, fits four SD cards.
Damn. It was funny because that sounds like a big number, but those things are all ultra tiny. They're like smaller than my pinky.
And then there's a little pocket in there for you to open it, and it comes with like a little thing.
Place to put out your weed.
It holds the screen. Like, so that way it doesn't get scratched or anything, and it has like a really soft thing. But then it gets better. So there's a bigger one. It's a little box shape, and you're able to carry the dock, right? So you can put the dock in there. You can put the Joy-Con, like if you have extra controllers, extra Joy-Cons, you put that in there. But it gets even better.
Ooh.
They also made a backpack. Nintendo Switch backpack.
It was like a tiny, it looked like a girl's backpack where it's way too tiny.
Really? No. It's big. It's a big backpack. So it's like a full-size backpack, and when you open it, you're able to put your... Like, there's a special place for your Switch.
In the front of the belt, right?
No, it's all inside. So I think you might have seen a different one.
All I know is I saw it on... Maybe I just saw it on a really fat guy.
Because they sell it at GameStop and stuff like that. And this thing is like $50, $60. It's not that expensive for...
This is the price of like a regular backpack. Yeah. Like a JanSport backpack.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's very... It's a well-done backpack. I know my cousin has one for his Switch, and I was, like, super jealous of it just because it's so nice. You know, there's a little logo for a Switch, and it has, like, a little red spot, but that's it. And then the rest of it is just black, and it's, like, it's, like, a grayish kind of color, and it's a nice backpack, you know?
Nice gray.
So very, like, you know, kudos to you, Nintendo.
You know what I'd like to see a third party out there do?
What?
Create with like a Resident Evil or what is it? It's like a Last of Us, some game with a mutant theme in it, and make a carrying case. out of like silicone fleshlight material.
Ew.
All bumpily and like look like tumors and growths. Put little patches of hair in there. Not like not just regular head hair, but like gristly facial stubble hair in there. Speaking of atrocious, little bits of like toenail parts sticking out.
You can
out,
do that. Part you can do
fantastic.
That. You make
people
it.
People would buy it. I will make
just
it.
Just make it out of like the...
I mean, and it's going to have like that weird slime that gets all the kinds of dirt on it.
Just go buy a bunch of like slime. Pocket pusses.
Oh my God.
And just like make it out of that.
That'd be, you know what?
I'd have to, I You're like, think, wait, wait, wait. You know wait, what? That's
just, yeah, man. I'm going to get, like, you get like, okay, for the belt, you just get a couple of those ridiculous like horse dongs, right? And then you just get like the pocket pussies, right? Get like the largest ones you can find and like glue a couple of them together so you got different slots to put
yeah,
it.
Exactly.
And it's like, oh, okay, here's the Hellraiser carrying case.
And genius. Then, like, you have the
get those acrylic nails to pop on it.
Yeah. And then you can, like, form the mouth on it. And then you're like, oh, here's the lube for the... And
brilliant.
It's like, that's just the saliva coming out of his mouth and stuff like that. It's like, it's
that
perfect.
Is freaking genius. I didn't even think about the mouth parts. You're freaking genius. We need to put this in the market. We'll just put market as, like, the most unstealable thing. And when someone steals it, just look for the creepiest guy. Yeah. He's got your carrying case.
Oh, no. It's like, what did you do to my carrying case?
You know exactly what I did to it. He's got scratches all over him from all the acrylic nails and stubbly hairs that had. It's like, it was horrible. I thought it'd be wonderful, but it was horrible.
And I think we should wrap up this podcast on
we
that
should.
Knot.
We really should.
I don't think we should continue.
On that knot?
Yeah. But thanks, guys, for listening. If you've listened all the way through, and we love you guys very much.
Also, we should have a Bad Dragon version.
A Bad Dragon version? No.
Google it.
I don't want to Google it. So where can you find us, Bobby? I'll wait here patiently. Maybe I'll talk to them while you look it up.
Find us on at R O D E. Wait. R O D E Z. M8.
That's
on Twitter.
That's Rhodes's
Twitter. Where's
Twitter.
Your findable thing? You're on Instagram, right?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram. Joe_re1.
And our Gigi email is
biggerthumbsup.
That's bi
or at gmail.com.
It's biggger.
Yes.
Thumbs up. I don't know how to spell that.
So
also, if you're listening to us on podcasts, find us on Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Breaker, Castbox, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, Spotify, and Stitcher.
And one more thing, I wanted to, if you guys stuck around, we are going to start making YouTube videos.
Uh-huh.
And it is going to be a special kind of video for all our viewers. So what we're going to be doing is we're going to be doing the story of certain characters. So let us know if there's any characters that you guys want to hear about, want to know more about. We're doing comic books, regular books, books, comic books, games, movies, comic books,
cell phone books, map books,
maps,
phone books.
But yeah, tell us any characters that you guys want to talk, that you guys want to hear more information about, and we can do full videos on it. 5-10 minutes real quick.
That's a lot of minutes. Mine's going to be like 3 minutes long.
Yeah, probably.
Then we're going to check them out. Mine are. You can make it as long as you want.
I'm going to make mine 20 minutes then.
Oh, fun set.
But yeah, check us out, guys. And
thanks for popping into the Thumbs Up Podcast. We love you guys.